أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this Tuesday morning live edition of Living the Legacy. It's a program where each week we explore the potential we have, that you and I have, to live our true legacy, to live lives that are rich in spiritual fulfillment and deeni happiness, to live lives that, over and above anything else, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we're living lives that please Him, then the bonus is living a life that we are happy with too as well, alhamdulillah. The program seeks to explore the different avenues and means through which we can start living the legacy. Overall, the broadest concept would be that of obedience to our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once we start looking at all the different branches, the different means and avenues of seeking and earning the pleasure of our Creator, we discover there's a whole beautiful world and way of doing so. Taking into account your individual personality, your inclinations, the situation you find yourself in life right now, whether you're a single, a student, a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, or a community member, how can you use all the tools at hand that Allah has presented you with, or the life situation and circumstances that He's placed you in, to earn His pleasure? When we think to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the illustrious companions of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then one term comes to mind, that they've lived their legacies. Each one of them drawing on the strengths, resources, and abilities that Allah has blessed them with to serve Him. And in serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earning His pleasure, in strengthening their faith and their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my question to you today, this morning or afternoon or evening, whichever part of the world you're listening to us from, welcome. My question to you today is, what's your legacy for today? And I know many of you from your emails, from your messages, tell me that you wait for the question to be asked because it's a reminder. And it just wakes us up a bit and says, hey, am I on track? What am I living for today? Who am I living for today? So I ask the question again, what's your legacy for today? What's the legacy you're hoping to live today? And if you are to die today, what's the legacy you're hoping to leave behind? You see, when we talk about living a legacy, it's not about a concept that's foreign or non-Islamic in the sense of creating a bucket list. It's something that we want to be living all the time. We want to be improvising, improving, bettering ourselves. So if today my aim is to live a legacy in praying my 5 daily salah on time, then perhaps in a few weeks or months' time, by regularly, consistently working on this, I'm able to achieve this goal. I need to add on to that goal. I need to look at the quality of that prayer, the quality of that salah, the khushu' element of that salah, for example. So wherever you are in life's journey right now, as you strive to live a legacy for Allah, ask yourself the question, can I do better? And can I do more? Ultimately, the program wants to create a generation of Muslims who are ambitious in their deeni inclinations and aspirations. A warm welcome to the program. Let's begin then with a beautiful quotation. I think this one resonates. It will resonate with you on your journey too. It's a quotation from one of the Syrian scholars, Sheikh Ratib al-Nabulsi, and he says, "The greatest thing man can lose is the hereafter. because the paradise is the greatest gift. It's a quotation from Dr. Nabulsi from Syria, and I've translated it for you to share with you in English. And his quotation translates as, "The greatest thing man can lose is the hereafter, because the paradise is the greatest gift." And it's entitled Loss. I'll be sure to share that with you on Twitter later today. So keep in touch with us. Follow us with the hashtag LivingTheLegacy as we live tweet during the hour. Also, you could email to Rayhana, Rayhanah at gmail.com or via WhatsApp or Telegram to +60132608592. We're tweeting with the hashtag LivingTheLegacy, where you can follow live tweets, summaries, learnings, reflections, and retweets of our listeners. Today's quotation again from Dr. Nabulsi, "The greatest thing man can lose is the hereafter, because the paradise is the greatest gift." Let's keep things in perspective and let's remember this quotation as we proceed in today's program. And today we'll be talking about one of the stumbling blocks that we all face at some time or the other in our journey to paradise. On the program today, part 3 of our current series entitled Life Lessons for the Believer. Today, combating the whisperings of Shaitan, and in our life project on the Sunnah, embracing the Sunnah, we revise the Sunan of Wudu. This coming up in the duration of this hour. So, Bismillah, let's begin and turn our attention to how you and I can combat the whisperings of Shaitan. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us very aware of in the Quran Kareem in many places. But for today's program, I've chosen, based on the angle we're going to be looking at, 2 ayat of the Quran. They come to us from Surah Al-A'raf, the chapter of the heights. Surah, or chapter 7, verses 200 and 201. Here is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if an evil suggestion comes to you from shaitan, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, then seek refuge in Allah. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, indeed he is hearing and knowing. So I want you to bear in mind the term or the phrase that we use in the translation, evil suggestion and shaitan, because that will be the crux of this first segment. Then in the ayah that follows, verse or ayah number 201, still of Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Indeed, those who fear Allah, when an impulse touches them from shaitan, they remember him. Who? تَذَكَّرُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remember Allah. And at once, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And at once they have insight. So, in this verse, I want us to remember some key points. Taqwa. Because the ayah starts by telling us, indeed those who fear Allah. And that when impulse from shaitan touches them, they do one thing. They remember Allah. And by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are faced with a direct benefit and consequence. And at once, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And at once, they have insight. So on today's program, we'll be understanding, again on a very basic level, we're keeping it simple, we're going to understand what it means to seek refuge in Allah when shaitan's evil suggestions come to us, what it means to be reminded of the divine attributes of Allah, As-Sami' and Al-Alim, the all-hearing and the all-knowing. And then in reference to the second verse, that when shaitan's whisperings try to overcome us, that not even overcome us, but touch us. So just meaning brush past, just something so light as though you would not even perhaps realize it unless you're aware and conscious of your spiritual state, your dini state, that you remember Allah. And when you remember Allah, you have insight. Insight into the situation, the workings, the inner workings of the shaitan himself. So, in previous weeks, as we discussed the life lessons of believers, we spoke about how to react and what your mindset and attitude as a Muslim, as a believer should be when life is all peachy and good and happy. We then discussed how to react and respond when you're faced with dark, troubling times. When gloomy clouds loom over your life journey, how do you handle it? Then in last week's program, we shared with you ayat of the Qur'an, verses of the Qur'an that uplift us, that provide comfort during rough times. And I gave you some homework, I hope you remember what it was. Inshallah. Well, the homework for those of you that missed it was to source out a scholar in your area, and mu'allim, mu'alliman, alima, a sheikh, a teacher who can teach you the meaning of these ayats of the Quran. Basically, I am challenging you that if you haven't as yet studied tafsir and the Arabic language, to make that a priority in your life. So we discuss what should you and I do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to test our iman, and when we are tested by wealth or health, either our own, our parents, spouses, siblings, or our own children, how do we respond? How do we react? Today on the program, inshallah, we're going to understand with the ayat 200 and 201 of Surah A'raf, keeping that in mind, what you should do when you see yourself acting on shaitan's desires. Now, in order to stop someone from controlling your life, assuming this has ever happened to you, you have to understand how the person operates. Now, I'll tell you this in detail when I'm going to take you inside shaitan's head, right? And that will come much later. But right now, I want to give you a behind-the-scenes view of shaitan's operation. Because if you know he's trying to control your life, you have to understand how the shaitan operates, right? Shaitan knows that he can't make a Muslim commit major sins at will. So he starts by telling us to commit smaller, minor sins. So he keeps on whispering where we do all of these small sins, and we often tell ourselves and appease our conscience that it's just a small thing. I won't do the sin again. I won't commit the sin again. I won't say these words. I won't do this deed again. It's something small. But shaitan keeps telling us to commit these small sins, these minor sins, until one day our resistance to these small sins drops. And then he tells us to start committing bigger sins and bigger sins. But because our iman is weakening, because our resistance is really low, it starts to look like a small sin at this time. And so it is that shaitan continues this until we start committing major sins. So shaitan works by causing us to doubt our beliefs. And then he makes us either too negligent or overzealous about the deen, depending on what's easier for him. Right? So Islam is a balanced, a moderate path. But if we find ourselves becoming negligent or doubting our iman and our beliefs, then we need to realize that the shaitan has begun making good headway in our minds, in our bodies, with our mindset. And that we have actually begun to act on his desires. Notice how the shaitan begins. He begins picking at small gaping holes. So we commit minor sins, and shaitan will convince us that it's only a small sin, it's okay. And eventually, committing a collection of minor sins, we then rationalize and say, oh, it's only small things. But we don't realize that our spiritual, our deeni resistance has dropped. And that allows shaitan to come in full armor and to attack our conscience, to attack our soul, our hearts, our minds. So here's some examples. A person will say, when I finish my exams, I will start praying my 5 daily salah on time. But right now, if I just pray my salah every day, that's enough. But when my exams are over and I'm not studying and I'm not cramming for an exam, then I'll recite, pray my salah on time every day. It's a small thing. I'm still praying salah. Or someone will say, I went for fajr to the masjid yesterday. I'll go tomorrow. It's okay if I miss one day. Or someone says, I'll watch this movie or this program or this YouTube video and then I'll go and pray salah. I mean, I will pray my salah, but I'll first watch this movie or this program or this YouTube video. You're just choosing something and someone over Allah. Or we say things, and this is so common, we say things like, this isn't a lie, it won't hurt anyone, it's only a joke, I'll just do it this once, and then the lie will be over. We all know it never is, right? Lies spin their own webs. So these are just examples, but I think you all get the point by now. So if you find yourself in the traps, in the claws of Shaitan's game, what do you need to do? Well, the answer to this question is in the Quran and in these very verses that I shared with you. In Surah A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 200, and if an evil suggestion comes to you from shaitan, then seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, He, meaning Allah, is hearing and knowing. So when you get that feeling, that tinge, that push from shaitan telling you to do something wrong, and doing something wrong that seems fun or seems easy at the time, but deep inside you know it's wrong for you to do, what should you do? The first thing you need to do is go straight to wherever you keep your mushaf, your Quran, and recite the Quran. Recite as much as you can. Recite from memory. If you can't recite, then listen to the Qur'an. Make wudu. That's one of the best ways to ward off the shaitan. And pray salah. Recite dhikr. These are all ways to combat the whisperings of shaitan. Listen to a lecture. Phone a friend who is positive and upbeat about living for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak to that friend. Make dua. Call your parents or your siblings. Talk about anything. Something that will distract you from the shaitan. But these then are short-term goals. The long-term and most permanent goals that can impact on you then and even later on in life, whether it's a week or a year or a decade from then, is to resort to Qur'an, salah, istighfar, dua, durood. And the Qur'an really is one of the best ways to push away, to repel the whisperings of the shaitan. Now one way in which you can seek refuge with Allah, as the Qur'an tells us, that if an evil suggestion comes to you from shaitan, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the best ways is by reciting the last two chapters, the last two surahs of the Qur'an Kareem. And that is Surah Al-Falaq, which begins as قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, and Surah An-Nas, which begins as قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the ayah telling us, إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, He, Allah, is hearing and knowing. It is a reminder and it is a comforter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who made us and created us and molded us, knows full well the challenges we face. He knows how difficult it can be to combat these whisperings and how tough it can be to overcome it. But that He hears and He sees and He knows. He knows what you're going through and He knows the efforts you're making to work as a jihad and struggle against your nafs and to push aside and to repel the whisperings of shaitan. Many times we feel so disempowered and we feel so discouraged that I wish I could make more ibadah and I wish I could worship Allah more intensely, but I'm spending so much of time pushing away the whisperings of shaitan. But that itself is an act of worship. That is an acknowledgement of the greatness of our Creator. It is acknowledgement that only He can help you, that He is the greatest force ever to be reckoned. And that everything is possible by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so finally, shaytan, remember, he works in mysterious ways. So to combat him, we must do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do in the Qur'an. And that is to seek refuge with Allah by remembering Allah, making the dhikr of Allah. And one of the best ways of doing dhikr is by reciting the Qur'an Kareem, praying salah, and fasting the sunnah fasts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may this be a life lesson for all of us. Join us next week in the same segment when I share with you a step-by-step plan on getting to Jannah. But for now, our first ad break of the hour, more after this. Stay with us.
Ladies, Classic Creation brings you the latest and exclusive range of abayas, kaftans and accessories from the fashion capital of the world. Visit them at their new modern boutique for the ultimate shopping experience at 15 Statter Street, Extension 3, Lanesha. Or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesha. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Have you visited Radio Islam's website at www.radioislam.co.za? Enlighten and benefit yourself by listening to audio podcasts of various on-air highlights. Listen or download discussions from categories such as current affairs, Salah awareness, family focus, loving our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hijab focus, as well as many other pertinent topics that affect a Muslim. www.radioislam.co.za. taking Muslims to deeper dimensions and greater heights in the forum of international media. This is Radio Islam International.
You are tuned to Loving the Legacy on Radio Islam International.
On the program today, we've been talking about what it is that you and I can do to combat the whisperings of Shaitan. And often we think it to be so difficult and so hard because Shaitan has promised that he will whisper to us and he will tempt us and try to, at least, from the right of us and the left, from in front and behind of us, and that he will be overwhelming in the way that he wants to influence us, as the Quran tells us. But we also understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest, and we say in salah every day, Allahu Akbar, nothing greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not our ego, not shaitan, not our desires, none of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our deen, our lifestyle, so easy for us to achieve success in dunya and akhirah. And that when the shaitan tries to tempt us, when he tries to win over and influence our minds and hearts and bodies, that we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should seek refuge. Begin just by saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And think about it, when you say that, what does automatically follow up for you? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and recite some Quran, make some dhikr, make wudu, and if it's a place that's creating or that's encouraging you or influencing you, or a person that's doing that and influencing you to any form of sin, major or minor, haram, makruh, etc., then move away from that. Right, you have that conscious choice and you have that willpower. So exercise that and make that conscious choice. Our quote for the day today, the greatest thing man can lose is the hereafter, because the paradise is the greatest gift. The quotation is the words from the lectures of Dr. Nabulsi of Syria, Hafizahullah. So join us next week as we discuss a step-by-step plan how to get you and I into Jannat al-Firdaus, insha'Allah, ameen. Our surah, Quranic references for today's program, verses 201 and 202 of Surah 7, Surah Al-A'raf, teaching us to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the shaitan tries to influence us, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do, then insha'Allah, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, we will then at once have that insight. And that's the realization that comes with knowing and understanding and being consciously aware that this is the temptation, this is the influence and the whisperings of shaitan, and to stay away from it. That insight is also for us to turn back, to reflect, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The insight is also to realize how وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that we are, as human beings, we are created, we are weak, and part of that weakness is that we succumb and we give in to temptations. The strongest of believers are those who understand themselves best, who know their inner selves and their workings best. InshaAllah. Ameen. We move on to our second segment of the hour, and if you're new to the program, allow me just to introduce you to it for a few moments. When we talk about living a legacy, we talk about the impact we can make, firstly in our own lives, the change that's needed from within for ourselves before we aspire to change the lives of others. We need to inspire ourselves first. We need to change and improve ourselves first before we can aspire to inspire others. In Islam, we talk about something called himma, meaning basically to have lofty goals, right? And as Muslims, we have the loftiest goal, alhamdulillah, as believers, and that is to seek the pleasure of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you get different types of himma, right? You get different types of goals. You get good goals and bad goals. Lofty goals in terms of their goodness, and those that are lofty in terms of the evil as well. But when we make that conscious intention, and when we make that effort to start living the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is one of the loftiest goals. When we start living and applying the sunnah in our lives, it allows us to keep focus. To keep focus on the most important goal. Remember? The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we start living the sunnah, we start investing in our dunya. And so when we talk about wanting to invest in our lives, the sunnah is the best investment. It's an investment that guides and comforts and leads our lives here in the dunya, but also an investment for the grave and the results and consequences of our time spent in the grave and in the hereafter. Everything that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did or said or approved of is pure and has been approved of by the highest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we choose to make this our lifestyle, when we choose to own the sunnah and make it and honor it by living it, that is one of the loftiest goals that we can have. So when we talk about having himmah, having lofty goals, we generally in Islamic terminology here are talking about excellent, praiseworthy and lofty goals. Imagine following the example of the most beloved to Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and living the way he lived and realizing the wisdom. Not a month goes by or even a week goes by, but you see articles and researches in Arabic, in English, in Turkish, so many languages of Muslim and non-Muslim scientists who research the sunnah, whether they realize it or not. For example, recently there was a research about sleeping on the right side. And we know that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to sleep on the right side. Not to sleep on the left, nor on the belly, nor on the back, but on the right side. And scientific research proved that this was the best form of sleeping for a person. That this allowed for the tissues, the cells to heal, to regenerate, to rejuvenate at night. It allows for the best form of sleep, healthy sleep that allows rest to the body and mind. That it's the best form or posture to be in sleeping for the organs of the body. Subhanallah. And we are so fortunate that we don't need to wait for the seal of approval from the rest of the world. We have the sunnah. We have the source of goodness and blessings and wholesomeness. So even if you've gone through much of your life and you haven't consciously lived the sunnah, I invite you, from my heart, I invite you to start embracing the sunnah. I'm going to help you make that easier, inshallah. Each week, we're going to look at one different sunnah. And there are thousands of them, alhamdulillah. And we're going to look at one chapter. And in that chapter, we're going to understand what are the different sunnah of that specific chapter. So today on the program, inshallah, the sunnah that we're going to be looking at is the sunnah of wudu. The sunnah of performing the wudu or the ablution. Now, many of us are perhaps already applying this. It's a good reminder then. And maybe as we listen to this list, we come to realize that there are certain sunnah that we have been neglecting without realizing. So it would be a good idea for us all to get pen and paper or to have a Word doc open or a memo open. And after our last break of the hour, I'll be sharing with you a quick review of the sunnahs that are involved in wudu so that you can make wudu exactly like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Stay with us. Grateful and very happy that you're joining us here for our last segment of the hour. The life project that we're looking at is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as together, as a listening community of Radio Islam, together, moving in one direction, and that is towards living the sunnah, owning it, honoring it, making it our lifestyle. Today, together, we're going to remind ourselves of the sunnah regarding wudu, the performance of wudu, so that from today onwards, if we've perhaps forgotten or been neglectful or unaware of it, we can start ensuring that we're making wudu just the way our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. So number one, mentioning the name of Allah. So, Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Some narrations say to say Bismillahi rahman rahim. Number two, to wash the hands thrice, three times. Number three, starting by rinsing the mouth and cleaning the nose before washing the face. Number four, rinsing or cleaning the nose using your left hand. This is because it is mentioned in a hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his hands thrice, then he rinsed his mouth and washed his nose with water by putting water in it and blowing it out, and he washed his face thrice. So the fourth sunnah regarding performance of wudu, rinsing the nose using your left hand. Number five, exaggerating in rinsing one's mouth and nose if not fasting, by moving water around the mouth and snuffing water to the end of one's nose. This is because of the hadith mentioned in Sunan at-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood. The words of it are, and snuff with water well, except when you are fasting. So the fifth sunnah, to rinse the mouth well and to clean the nose well if you are not fasting. And of course, if you are fasting, you take your precaution. Number six, rinsing one's mouth and nose with the same handful of water. This is because of the hadith mentioned in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put his hand, meaning into the vessel of water, rinsed his mouth and his nose. Number seven, using the siwak, using the miswak, before rinsing one's mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by Ahmed, had I not thought it difficult for my ummah, I would have commanded them to use the siwak before every prayer. Number eight, for the men, running one's wet finger through the beard upon washing the face. It is mentioned in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to run his wet finger through his beard while performing wudu. This is recorded in At-Tirmidhi. Number nine, wiping over one's head. Number ten, running wet fingers between the fingers and toes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, perform your ablution perfectly and let water to run between the fingers and toes. Number 11, washing the right limb before the left. It is narrated in a hadith mentioned in Al-Bukhari and Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to start from the right side of wearing shoes, combing his hair, cleaning or washing himself, and on doing anything else. Number 12, performing the actions thrice, meaning three times, when washing the face, hands, and foot. Number 13, saying the testification of faith, right? The shahadatain after finishing wudu, to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. There are narrations to say to recite that during making wudu as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith recorded in Sahih Muslim, if anyone amongst you performs the ablution, performs the wudu perfectly, and then says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, the eight gates of paradise would be open for him, and he may enter by whichever of them he wishes. And number 14, performing wudu in your house. It is recorded in the works of Imam Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever purifies in his house and walks to the masjid to perform obligatory prayer, his steps are counted as one expiates a sin and the other raises his rank. Subhanallah. So we'll review once again the 14 sunnah regarding the wudu. Number 1, mentioning the name of Allah. Number 2, washing the hands thrice. Number 3, starting by rinsing the mouth and nose before washing the face. Number 4, rinsing the nose by one's left hand. Number 5, exaggerating in rinsing one's mouth and nose if not fasting, by moving water around the mouth and snuffing water to the end of one's nose. Number 6, rinsing the mouth and nose with handful of water. Number 7, using the miswak to clean the teeth before rinsing one's mouth. Number 8, for the men, running one's wet finger through the beard upon washing the face. Number 9, wiping over your head. Number 10, running wet fingers, you know, the khilal process, between the fingers and toes. Number 11, washing the right before the left. So always do the right first and then the left. The right arm, the left arm. The right foot, the left foot. Number 12, performing the actions thrice, meaning 3 times when washing the face, hands and feet. Number 13, reciting the shahada, the testification of faith, after making wudu, and if that wudu has been made perfectly, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the 8 gates of paradise will be opened, and that person can enter by whichever of them he wishes. And lastly, performing wudu in the home, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes the wudu, purifies in his house, and walks to the masjid to perform the fard salah, the obligatory prayer, his steps are counted as one expiates a sin, right? So the step one will cleanse of one of a sin, and the other step towards the masjid, raising in rank, and so on until you reach the masjid. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love making wudu, because this certainly is the key to salah and Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who make wudu the way our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. The sunnah of wudu are available easily in Islamic textbooks, in your children's maktab books. Read over them, print out, write out a copy, memorize it, have someone test you if you don't remember it. Make it part of your legacy. Live a legacy of the sunnah. I'll join you then on Thursday afternoon between 2 and 3 p.m. Central African time. It will be my pleasure to continue with you on Thursday as we discuss the legacy of Aisha radiallahu anha. We're now into our 7th month exploring her life and legacy. Until then, stay inspired, keep learning, stay sincere on your journey of knowledge. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.